Hello, everyone. Welcome to Issues of the Heart. This is not our normal podcast night. We're on at 7 o'clock every Monday night. Don't miss. We're going through a series right now on anger. And I apologize. Last Monday, I had some problems with my system here, and the recording just didn't go the way we had hoped. So we have worked on that. I think maybe have that resolved. It's good to have Pastor Gordon Scoggin with us from Liberty Baptist Church in Lamar, Missouri. He and I have been friends for a long, long time, and he has been a huge help to me. And he has done some very deep, concentrated study on the subject of anger. And last Monday, we covered the subject of the problem of anger, but we had some problems. So what I'd like to do now, Brother Scoggin, I'd like for us to, for you to go kind of over some of the main points from last Monday, and then kind of give us a warm up for our podcast on Monday night.
Well, we made it perfectly clear that anger is certainly a major problem in our culture. Angry people are all around us. We all have to deal with our own demons every once in a while. Anger in itself isn't necessarily bad as long as you address it at the time you recognize it as a problem and don't let it get out of control where it gets out of your mouth or starts getting down to your limbs and you want to hurt people. We refer to that as wrath. And according to the Bible, wrath is always wrong. Anger that gets out of control is wrong. Ephesians 4:26-7 say, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. In essence, give jurisdiction to an unclean spirit that can be opened up when you have anger issues and don't do anything about it. We had mentioned that opening yourself to unclean spirits is kind of like piling on in a football game. You made a run and you get tackled and a 300-pound lineman comes and jumps on you and won't move and laughs at you while he's doing it. And that's what happens. And we're laughing. I get it's kind of funny, but it ain't funny when you're the one that's involved in it and it's affecting you. So what, I'll just throw it back at you. What do you think the reason is that people are angry? I told you what I thought last week, and you can either echo that or I can go ahead and echo it again, whatever you'd like to do.
Well, no, just touch base on what we talked about last week. I know that one of the things about anger is one thing I've picked up on. Most of the time when I'm dealing with couples and anger is involved, the angry person doesn't want to admit they're angry and they kind of blame everything else on the other person. And it seems like with anger, there's always an excuse for why they're angry. And it's almost like we justify every time we get angry, and as long as we justify it, we'll never deal with it, right?
That's exactly right. There's always a more deep rooted cause of it, and it's usually something that they're hiding or it's painful. As we mentioned last week, I think abuse is one of the biggest problems that causes our anger in our culture. Because we've got so many people who have been hurt by people they should be able to trust. Mm-hmm. And you start building up those walls of insecurity and that hurt. You want to hide that hurt. So you stick it back in a corner of your mind where you can't, hopefully it's never going to be brought back up unless you really dig to go after it. So if you don't deal with the root cause, then you're always constantly deflecting. And like you said, making excuses to blame somebody else.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is, now let's talk about this for a second, because when I'm counseling a couple, almost 99% of the time, the wife will say, my husband has an anger problem. Now, I realize that that's probably true, but is it ever the other way around?
You mean a wife with an anger problem toward her husband?
And because of that, her best option is to focus the attention on her husband.
I came from Eunice, Louisiana. There's more angry women in that town. You can check a stick out. I don't with them all the time.
I'm not going there. My wife will be home this coming week, and she'll be listening to this. So it's always me. I'm just going to say it's always me that's angry at my house. So
because there's, and I see the abuse problem is a lot worse among women. Now, they may vent it in a different way, but they're still trying to push buttons or trying to do things to get other people to react to their anger so they can feel justified in their own anger, which is, still doesn't make it right. It's probably worse in some ways among women than it is men, I think. But it's pretty much on both sides of the spectrum.
Well, you know what? I just now thought of this. I think one of the things with women, and you ladies that are listening, chime in, correct me. And by the way, we're getting responses. Everybody so far, Gordon says, coming through loud and clear, sounds so much better than last week, et cetera. So we must have resolved whatever the issue was. But one thing I've learned, and I may be missing it, and this is not an attack on women. I love my wife. I love women. I'm not attacking women in any way. But one thing I've learned over the years, men will get mad. They'll lose their temper. They get angry. They blow up. And then you almost don't notice it the next day. They go to the same people they blew up at, and it's like nothing happened. Most women I know can't do that. When they go through an angry spell, they'll hold on to that for weeks and weeks and weeks, and sometimes plotting to get even for the reason they were angry. I may be missing that. I'm just saying that's the perception I have.
I have an analogy for that. Women build up, they take and take and take when there's interaction, especially in a marital relationship. You're right, men, they get over it. You know, you see that in the workplace. I had a boss that I didn't, you know, I think he was bipolar. I hated to pick up the phone because I didn't know which boss was going to be on the phone. And he would, if he was not in a good mood, he would lose his mind and then unload the boat. And then after he got done, he thought everything ought to be all right. And it wasn't necessarily that way. But with women, they just soak it up and don't let it go. I equate that to guys being like speedboats and women being like aircraft carriers. Speedboats, they just zip, turn around, and on the way back, no big deal. But an aircraft carrier takes a long time to make maneuvers to go a different direction. And most guys are stupid and they have no idea what makes their wives tick. And instead of learning what's going on, we may be getting off point a little bit here, but if they would learn that, they would have a lot less trouble in their relationships.
Mm-hmm. So I guess a way we could say this, and when I'm counseling couples, I tell the husbands, because I start off usually with the couple together and then we divide them up. And from then on, we counsel them individually to deal with their issues, not their mate's issue. But I always tell the men, look, your wife will take it, and she'll take it, and she'll take it, and she shouldn't ever have to.
Right.
Right? She's nobody's whipping post. But she'll take it, and she'll take it, and she'll take it. And when your wife comes to you and she says, I'm done, she usually is.
And oh, absolutely.
The hardest thing as a counselor I have to do is to try to help him win back a wife who has gotten past that done point. And anger fits right into that. So she gets angry, but but suppresses it, gets angry, but suppresses it, get angry, but suppresses it. But when it comes out, it came out.
It's like a volcano.
Yeah, right.
It goes back to the definition I've got here in my notes. What is the spirit of anger? It's a hostile, destructive energy from a buildup of inner stressful tension projected outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
That fits right into what you're just saying. It results in past hurts that have never been resolved.
Absolutely.
So instead of resolving them, they just keep letting them build up.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that 100%. I think that's right on track. So we talked about why people are angry. And the short answer was the breakdown of society. And I agree with that. We're seeing it more and more and more. As a matter of fact, you get on the highway right now, you'll see things on the highway that you didn't see 20 years ago. You'll see responses you didn't see 20 years ago. Now you saw them, but not as readily as you see them today.
I mean, tell you that you're number one.
I'm telling you, it you know, any little thing now sets people off. Any little thing. And I think it's because all of this stuff has progressed, as you said on Monday night, and we have actually had a breakdown of society, and that's where we are. Right. One of the things.
Go ahead. I can give an illustration about that. I used to have road rage. I used to live in Memphis. And if you've lived in Memphis, you can understand why you'd have road rage. But people, and I drove a gas truck. And if somebody tried to cut me off, I would just lose it. I literally put a guy off in the median one day who was trying to pass me in a traffic jam. And the Lord whooped me over it big time. You know, if you ask yourself, why was that a problem? It was because I was being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. My anger was because I was selfish. I didn't like that guy trying to cut into my right of way. And if you want victory in your life, the victory is going to come when you learn to yield right away. Yield your rights first to the Lord. Yield to others. Give others priority over yourself. And it's amazing how much peace and joy that brings to your heart to do that.
So do you think
over your anger problem?
Yeah. So do you think this anger, the prevalence of it now, because it just seems like people are waiting to be angry. Do you think that maybe has something to do with the loss of hope? They're looking at everything. You know, they have a background that has been less than desirable. And as you stated on Monday, it could be something that they inherited, that some kind of a generational curse. It could be any number of things. But in the process of all of that, they actually lost hope. I know in dealing with couples, there are some people who want to do their homework assignments and will work on the things we're telling them to do because they've already convinced themselves, you know, I've tried this over and over and over and over again. It hasn't worked. It's not going to work now. It's not worth the effort, right? Do you think anger falls in that?
I suppose so. I'm trying to work a thought up here. In that regard, that what's the mentality of people in the culture? They're taught that there are no anchors. They make up their own morality. They just become their own God.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you're God, everybody ought to bow down to you. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I mean,
in a warped mind.
Yeah. Well, that's why, And you touched on this last week, too. Some of that is because of the parenting or lack of that occurred while they were growing up. All of those are factors. And I think that with anger, the difference between anger and a lot of the other generational issues we deal with is that the consequences of anger is much greater. The end result of anger is much greater. death occurs as an end result of anger. Destroyed homes is a result of uncontrolled anger. And it just goes on and on and on. People have lost their jobs because of uncontrolled anger.
And then you chase it back, though, to the root. The root, as we said, the breakdown of society, the breakdown of the home. And I'm confident in this statement that basically any child who comes out of a broken home has an anger problem, just may not realize it yet. But they have an issue because they've been hurt by the people they should be able to trust. Their world is fractured. Now they don't know who to trust. So what do? You build up walls, and when you build up walls, you can't have relationships. So when you try to build relationships, they're going to fail because the openness that's required for a successful relationship is not going to be there because you're scared that person's going to hurt you too.
Mm-hmm. So why would you say, what are the basic reasons why anger is wrong? We know what it does to us. But why is it wrong? There's a lot of things that we as Christians identify as sins. A lot of those things are not sins. They can be hurtful, but they're not categorized as sin in the Word of God. Where does anger fit in all of that? I think you touched on it. I'm trying to think.
Probably did. I'm going through my notes right now trying to.
Well, what you said last week that I thought was a very powerful statement was that only God has the right to be angry. And I think that defines what we just said.
That was the opening point. Only God has the right to be angry and be moved to wrath. And we put ourselves in the position of God because he is the sole creator and he has ownership rights. And we're answerable to him for all of our actions, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just deny his ownership and reject his redemption, we're subject to his anger. That's not a good place to be.
No, you're right. And
another bullet.
So, go ahead.
By rejecting God's principles, sequences of dysfunction and destruction begin consummating in physical death and eternal judgment. In the long-term process, if you don't deal with your anger and get right with God over it, because it's sin.
Right.
Sin has to be confessed. Regardless of whether you're the cause of anger, if you harbored it against somebody else, that makes you just as wrong as them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing about anger is the only one that can fix it is you. That's between you and God. A counselor can't fix it. Your pastor can't fix it. A parent can't fix it for a child. A husband can't fix it for a wife, or a wife for a husband. It's something that you have to realize and you have to take action against. And until a person gets to that point, it appears to me, until they get to that point, nothing will be resolved in that area of anger.
Well, and when you're angry, you're not in a position to forgive or receive forgiveness. So all you're doing is piling on more pain on yourself instead of getting free from the bondage that the anger brings to you. It's like being in a prison.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on it last week, expressing unresolved anger. When we get angry and it goes unresolved, that actually becomes a form of vengeance. And it can be vengeance against whoever wronged us or people maybe who didn't even wrong us, but they happen to be in the line of fire when we responded with anger. Right?
Absolutely right. Of course, we know what Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is actual divine punishment for the wrong, disobedience done against God's principle. from the biblical perspective. But one of my bullet points here is that many of us use wrath to punish those who hurt and offend us. Thus, we're taking upon us vengeance that only belongs righteously to God. And we should be extending forgiveness and even blessing instead of inflicting pain and heartache.
Yeah, and the one who
loses. And the other person.
Yeah, and the one who loses. Yeah, the one who loses sleep at night is the one who used anger as vengeance, not the person you were angry with. So, no, that's good stuff. So next week, or Monday night, actually, what is the subject we're going to cover, Gordon, Monday night?
Manifestation, how we see it come out. And I'll just throw a few thoughts out here. Some of the symptoms can be like low self-esteem or low self-worth, of course, insecurity and anxieties and things like that. We'll dive into some of those, and hopefully the faithful crowd out there will have some questions and some thoughts, and we'll have a good discussion.
Yeah, good. Well, we look forward to it. And everyone, that'll be Monday night, 7 o'clock. We've got things worked out here, and it'll be live Monday night, 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. Man, I think you're going to be surprised at some of the manifestations of anger. And I think some you may look at and say, whoa, I didn't know that had anything to do with anger. So you don't want to miss it. But thank you for being on tonight. And again, this wasn't a planned live post. We just wanted to make sure that the system was working, and we wanted to remind you of the things you maybe couldn't hear so well on the podcast last Monday night, so that you go into this one this coming Monday night with all the information. Excuse me. So thank you, Pastor Scoggin. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Remember, Monday night, 7 o'clock, it will be live on YouTube, Jay Albright, Issues of the Heart on YouTube. It will be on the Issues of the Heart and Recovery Ministries Facebook page. It'll be on the Jay Albright Facebook page. Don't miss those. Then we will put it on Twitter, Instagram, after that initial podcast. So please don't miss it. Monday night, every Monday night, 7 o'clock. Somebody asked me even today, matter of fact, three different people asked me today, when are you putting the horse back on? We're going to get him back on. So I got to get him back on before I lose all my followers, Brother Gordon. But anyway,
you're not horse, not your food.
Well, I just need to teach him to talk. If I teach him to talk, then we'll have it all wrapped up. But anyway, everybody, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Thank you, Pastor Scoggins.
Welcome.